the last time we looked in John 10, we looked at Jesus as the great shepherd. Of course, he is the fulfillment of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we saw 12 ways in which he blesses us as our good shepherd. I'll just read those quickly. He knows his sheep. He leads his sheep. He goeth before them. He is the door of the sheep. He feeds them. He gives them abundant life. He giveth his life for the sheep. He protects them from the wolves. He goes after the wayward sheep. He puts us into one fold, gives them eternal life, or gives us eternal life, and preserves his sheep. So 12 things we saw in the chapter last time that our good shepherd does for us. So tonight we're going to go through the chapter again, but this time we're going to focus on the sheep instead of the shepherd. So that's us and all the many things that we are blessed with because we're Jesus' sheep. So remember, you're not one of his sheep unless you are part of his fold. You're not part of his fold unless you have received his life, his eternal life, been born again. So that's this just chapter is talking about his sheep, those that have been put into his fold through the one door, Jesus Christ. So we'll look at the chapter again. Actually, we won't read it for the sake of time since we already did. But we'll read the last three verses of our passage, 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So notice he says there, verse 27, my sheep. That's our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom. Use your word to teach us tonight. We thank you for the privilege to meet on a Wednesday and open your word. And now may you just bless our hearts through it and change us through its power. We commit its service to you. May you be glorified in it. In Christ's name, amen. So we focused last time on the many wonderful things that our good shepherd does for us as the good shepherd. Tonight, we talk about the sheep, us, and all the wonderful things that we receive because we are Jesus Christ's sheep. You know, as he saw, said there in verse 1 last time, many are trying to get to heaven some other way. He mentions there in verse 1 that he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Many in the world today are trying to get to God's fold around Jesus. You can't do it. There is no other way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. So Jesus Christ is the only way, but as he mentions here, there's thieves and robbers trying to get to heaven some other way, through church attendance, through baptism, through trusting their church, whatever. It's not going to work. You must go through Christ if you hope to be part of his sheepfold. And so tonight we focus on the sheep and how blessed we are to be Jesus Christ's sheep. If you go to Matthew 9:36, Jesus Christ, when he looked at the multitudes, he looked at them as a shepherd would look. Notice Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, so this is Jesus Christ during his ministry on earth, he looks out, he sees the multitudes. It says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We have a shepherd. Amen? The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's referred to as the shepherd and bishop of your souls in 1 Peter 2. So let's focus tonight on the great things that happen to his sheep. Verse 3 will begin. Number 1, the Bible says, the sheep hear his voice. Amen. As his sheep, we can hear his voice. Now, we're not talking audibly tonight. We understand that we're talking about through his word. Jesus Christ doesn't speak to us audibly, but he does speak to us through his word with the help of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, that began when we got saved. We got saved because we heard the word. The Bible says that we heard the gospel, and that was the gospel of our salvation. When we heard the word of truth, we were saved. And in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it all began when someone shared the gospel with us, or we read the gospel, and we heard that voice of the Holy Spirit saying, you need salvation through Jesus Christ. And we listened and we obeyed and we trusted Christ. And we heard his voice. If you go to Revelation 22:17, the Bible tells us that one of the things that we are to be doing as the bride of Christ is to try to make sure that as many people as possible also hear the good shepherd calling out to his sheep through the gospel. Notice here the very last chapter of the Bible, verse 17 of chapter 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? That's us. We're the bride of Christ. And it says, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God finishes his word with an invitation to the world to partake of the water of life. But I want you to see there that even the bride is told to say to the world, come to Christ. Listen to his word, hear his voice through the gospel, and be saved. So the first thing, it all starts with hearing his voice. Then number 2, verse 4, it says, and the sheep follow him. Hallelujah. We not only trusted Christ, we are now followers of Christ. Amen? That's what the word disciple means. We're now followers of Jesus Christ. When Jesus called the disciples, he always said, follow me. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible tells us that we're here to follow Jesus Christ. Now he says it again down in verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they, what? Follow me. That's our mission now, is to follow Christ, to follow in his footsteps. He will lead the way. He promised he would last week as the good shepherd. Now we're here to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us that if we want to be his disciple, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. So we are saved by hearing his voice, and now we follow Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 4, number 3, we know his voice. Isn't that good? We know his voice. And that is this book. We have been given the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Because, listen, there's a lot of voices out there. And they're false voices. The Bible says many false prophets are going out into the world. There's a lot of false voices out there. But because we have the Holy Spirit now, we can know. We can know his voice. We know when we hear the truth because the Holy Spirit helps us and we can compare Scripture with Scripture. And we can know, he says it again in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. So we hear it and we know it. That's Jesus talking to me. When we get into the Word, the Holy Spirit speaks to us like we talk Sunday. It's like a mirror. That's Jesus speaking to us, and we can hear his voice. We're told faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we get into the word of God, you know, as we're newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, what does it say? We grow. It talks in Hebrews 5 about how we mature in the word and how we grow. And we mature from milk to meat. And we're ready. And we know when we hear that false voice, and we know when we hear Jesus' voice, because we are his sheep. And we have the Holy Spirit. So, already just in the first 4 verses, we've heard his voice, we follow him, and we know his voice. We know now. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 5, the Bible says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I love that verse. Paul warned us that there would be many wolves, not sparing the flock. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29. And so we as Christians now, when we hear those false voices, When we hear those wolves speaking, we say that isn't God, and we go the other way. And we can't do it without God's help, but we have God's help. Go to Ephesians 4:14, where the Bible tells us that as we mature in Christ, He helps us to flee from these false voices. Notice Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't be children tossed to and fro, but grow up so that you can flee from all those false voices. And another one, 1 John 4:6, turn over there if you would. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a lot of spirit of errors in the world today, isn't there? They're just everywhere. The cults and even among supposed Christianity, there's just so much false doctrine being put out. We are His sheep, and when we hear those false voices, the Bible says we flee. Say, that's not God. That's not coming from God. And we turn and flee the other way. All right, number 5 is down in verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. As His sheep, we are saved. Saved from hell. Saved from the consequences of our sin. Hallelujah. And He said it in verse 28 as well, didn't He? I give unto them eternal life. We are saved because we entered by the door. And we're going to talk next week about Jesus being the door. But the Bible says we are saved. If you go to Romans 5:9, we'll see this. But this is a Bible word. Now, admittedly, it's being abused by the devil, but it's still a Bible word. The word saved. Why is it such an important word? Because Jesus is the Savior. So He saves. Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Most of us know Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved. And we could go on all night. There's so many verses about being saved. So number 5, we're saved. Number 6 is in verse 9. It says, and we find pasture. Isn't that good? What's the purpose of a pasture for a sheep? It's where he eats. We find pasture. You're holding it in your hands, amen? This is our grass. Because that's what sheep eat, right? And we're sheep. So right here, you're holding the grass in your hand. We are to be feeding on this book. Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God in Matthew 4:4. And Peter commanded the shepherds, the under shepherds, to feed their flocks the word of God. So we find pasture. And number 7 is in verse 10. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. As God's sheep, we have the abundant Christian life. Hallelujah. You have a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But we not only have a new life, we have the abundant life. Because we serve the one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. As we're told in Ephesians 3:20. So because we are His sheep, we can now live a life that's abundant. And of course, that abundance continues forever with Him in glory. So Jesus is so good to His sheep. Number 8 is found in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. The Bible says that we know Him. Jesus said that will be the defining thing at the judgment, didn't He? That some people will come to Christ and say, Lord, I prophesied in Your name, cast out devils, did many wonderful works. And He said, and I will profess unto them, I never knew You. But this says, I am known of mine. We do know Him. and he does know us. Not because we're better than anyone else, but because we believe the gospel and we were saved. And so we know our Savior. We know him personally. We talk about him being our personal Savior. It's not just a concept. He is our personal Savior. He saved us and he lives in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. And so we know him. And then verse 28, number 9, I give unto them eternal life. As his sheep, we receive eternal life. Praise the Lord. John 6:47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. We receive everlasting life from our shepherd. And my favorite is in verse 28, number 10. We will never perish. Isn't that good? They shall never perish. As his sheep, we are protected by our Savior from everything else. The devil, devil's helpers, anything. We will never perish. Look at John 6:37. The Bible makes it very clear that as his sheep, number 10, we will never perish. Notice he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He will never cast his sheep out. The Bible says we're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible says he's forgiven us all trespasses, that we're kept by the power of God, that we're preserved in Jesus Christ. We could go on all night. But the good news is we will never perish as his sheep. So praise God. If you can boldly say, I'm one of Jesus' sheep. Yes, a sheep is not necessarily the greatest compliment when you know sheep. But that's just because our Creator knows us. That we're just like sheep. And hallelujah. Better to be one of Jesus' sheep than one of the devil's sheep. Amen. So praise the Lord for all the things that our shepherd has given us as his sheep. And like I say, next week we'll look at how Jesus is the door to the one sheepfold. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we are your sheep.